independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The goal of healthcare reform is people get access to affordable coverage. Our goal is use choice and competition, not government coercion and mandates.
Ah, what do you say? Healthcare's fun, isn't it? People sit around and talk about it a lot. That right there is Paul Ryan. He went so far yesterday and today as to take out a board with a pointer and point at stuff. He's a pointer now. Paul Ryan the pointer. This is where we've come in healthcare. This is it. The fight is on. I've told you this, and I'll continue to tell you this. There's going to be winners. There's going to be losers. There are going to be people out there who are going to lose their coverage. And there's going to be winners. People out there who see their coverage cut. Here's the way it's going to work. People who don't pay for coverage are probably going to be hurt. People who do pay for coverage are probably going to be helped. There you go. There you go. What's going to be in this thing? Nobody knows. I put something out on Twitter this morning asking you, when you think of healthcare, what's the thing that you think about the most? Cost, right across the board. We're a consumer-based society. We think about cost. How much is it going to cost me? What's my car payment going to be? Those are the things we think about. Cost. That's what it is. Choice, that's important. Absolutely 110% important. Time with doctor is important. But if we can't afford it, none of the other things matter. None of the other things matter. How you doing, everybody? Happy Thursday. It's the Chad Benson Show. Thanks so much for making us part of your day. I'm in beautiful Hotlanta. WSB is kind enough to put us up here as we broadcast live in 3D Technicolor. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, 844-344-2423. You know, not everybody's going to be happy. The Republicans, you know, the Freedom Caucus is extremely upset. They don't think this is anything more than Obamacare light, and they're going to fight this thing tooth and nail. It may get through all of the things it needs to get through, right? And they may spend 24 hours debating stuff, like stuff yesterday. What did they debate yesterday or early this morning? Was it like Viagra, erectile dysfunction? They debated that for a while. Again, it's all about cost. Are you going to give me more choices? Are you going to allow me to compete? And Democrats, let me tell you something. You are not free from criticism here. You're not. We'll get to you guys in a little bit. This is Vice President Mike Pence.
When we finish our work by this spring, we will have swept away the disaster of Obamacare and replaced it with the kind of health insurance system that allows Americans to be able to choose their health insurance across state lines. Leaders in the Congress have stepped forward to keep our promise to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare, to end this this nightmare of Obamacare once and for all.
You guys keep screaming it's a nightmare. People are scared. Why is that? Because they know government, and government comes in, and usually they try to fix something, and they usually break it a little bit more. There's a fear factor there. I get that completely. I absolutely get that. Republicans have talked a big game. What they're finding out is what I said the day that Trump was elected. You're now on defense. Playing offense is easy. Playing defense is much harder. As much as the Democrats don't want to admit it right now, there's a huge sigh of relief because they get to play offense all day. Republicans got to play defense. Healthcare is going to be a battle. Healthcare, like the economy, is something we all deal in, whether we like it or not. And there are going to be some good things in this thing, and there are going to be some things that are going to be mixed, and there's going to be some things that are going to be poor. They're not going to get it 100% right. They're not. New poll out today says most Americans want D.C. to work together. They want them to work together. Do you understand that? Do you listen? Or do you only listen to the small, loud few that flood your phone lines and they get up in front of people in town halls and yip and yap? Speaking of that, here's Nancy Pelosi.
The Republican bill is one of the largest transfers of wealth from working families to the richest people in our country. Robin Hood in reverse.
Robin Hood in reverse. She said that out loud. Robin Hood in reverse. That's what it is. It's always about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. It's been that way since the dawn of time. It will always be that way. And I'm sure at the dawn of time, there was probably somebody yapping about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. Healthcare. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's going to continue to be a fight in the battle. It will always be a fight in the battle. Because it's never going to be perfect. The problem is as much our fault as it is anybody else's. Because we want perfection from people who aren't perfect. We want perfection for ourselves. I want the right thing that fits me 110%, that's right all the... How many of you have bought a car where everything is perfect? No, well, it's missing this. That's what life is. We're going to have some stuff that misses. Healthcare is the same way. Obamacare, they tried it. It didn't work. If I'm the Democrats, and if I'm the Republicans, I'm calling them saying, you need to come over here and work with us. You guys created this mess. You broke it. We're going to try to fix it. Because the fact is, if it doesn't get fixed, it's going to break completely, and we're all screwed. So we got to figure this thing out, and we need to do it together. And if you've got more Americans saying we need to do this together, listen to the more, not the few. Nancy, continue.
What we have seen is the Republicans' long-feared and job-killing health bill that means less coverage and more cost to American people. Pay more for less.
Nancy, you have no legs to stand on. Job-killing? Absolutely Obamacare was. Job-killing in two ways. The big way was people stopped hiring, or you lost hours. The second thing, and most importantly, people are paying more, Nancy. It's already happening. You can't tell me that it's not happening. Many Democrats are saying, look, it's happening. We know this thing needs to be fixed. We 110% know it needs to be fixed, and it's in front of them right now. And both of them can work together, and they can make it happen. The people want that. I want that. If I'm a Republican, I want their fingerprints all over this thing as much as ours. Because we're either all in or we're all out. We're not talking about fighting for the porks and subsidies for your little pet project and your windmill over here and these kind of things. We're talking about the health care of the United States of America that you guys decided to put yourself in and impose yourself on and join forces with the insurance companies. So all of you need to have skin in this game, because if we're going down, you're going down with us. If it goes great, you can take the credit. If it goes bad, you should take the blame. Here's Sean Spicy Spicer.
This bill will land on the president's desk. He will sign it. We will repeal Obamacare, and we'll put into place a system that will be patient-centered, that will allow the American people to have greater choice and lower costs. We're not jamming this down people's throat. We're welcoming ideas and thoughts. We think this is a great the vehicle to restore a patient-centered health care bill to drive down costs.
Nah, I don't think Spicy sounds like he really believes all that. People are going to ask questions, and they should. Republicans, you guys should be all over this as well. You should ask questions left, right, and center. The ones who don't agree should talk about everything that you guys don't agree with. It should be debated. It should be out there. It should be talked about. It should be transparent. It should be visible to all. So we're not sideswiped by something. Know that you're not going to please everybody, because you never do please everybody. You never do. The whole point is pleasing more than you piss off. And that's the issue. You promised a lot of things. Remember, Trump can talk about replacing, repeal, replace, repeal, replace. He can talk about all of those things, but he ran on the wall. He ran on bringing back jobs. These guys and gals have been running on replacing Obamacare since the day Obamacare passed. This is as much their game as anybody's. And it's put up or shut up time, and you've promised a lot of things. But this is where we need to be patient, too. There's going to have to be some give and take. Life is a negotiation. Doesn't matter what you do. It is a negotiation. You give a little. They give a little. You get a little. They get a little. You see where they're coming from. They see where you're coming from. You do the best you possibly can to please the most you possibly can. But in the end, Not everybody's going to be happy. In the end, there will be issues. In the end, people will be upset. Doesn't matter what it is. Somebody's going to be upset. Somebody's going to lose their coverage. Somebody's going to get hurt. And you need to be honest about it. And if you address it from the word go, that helps. But if you say, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. Everybody's going to get health care. It's all going to be cheaper. It's going to be roses. It's going to be great. Then people are going to call you out, and it's going to be a bigger mess. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. And, of course, always reach us. What are you worried about healthcare-wise? What is it, the singular thing that worries you? For me, and I think for a lot of people out there, it's cost. Because if the cost gets too far out of control, it doesn't matter about all the other stuff. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
America's funniest cisgendered privileged white male with a bully pulpit the size of a divided nation. Here's Chad Benson.
President Trump is a businessman, and he gets it that you don't buy wholesale and pay retail. And he also gets it, the basic free market principle is that a buyer and a seller negotiate. He knows the VA negotiates, he knows that Medicaid negotiates, and he knows we're getting ripped off.
There's Mr. Welch talking about what Trump knows. Free market. Love the free market. Free market is delicious. We're not as free as we think. Regulation, taxes, the way that we do things has made us a less freer market when it comes to how we do business in this country. We always talk about free market principles. We always talk about things like that. I read a quote the other day from some Democratic senator a few years ago. I get this little calendar at work, and it's the weird things that people say and do. And this free market quote was hilarious about this senator that said, the free market is far too important for the government not to get into and control. So, I mean, that's the belief by some people, that that's got to be controlled. Negotiations. Do you understand what that's about? Negotiations. How important that is? Most people in America want negotiations. They want people to be able to work side by side. I always like it when people talk about, you know, our founding fathers liked the fact that we fought all the time. Yes, except for they got stuff done. That was it. You should stand up for the things you believe in, but you must also realize that other people have beliefs as well. And to be a good business person, doesn't matter what you're doing, right, in business, you got to have some give and take. You do. You've got to be willing to say, you know what, I need to give a little bit. And everybody harkens back to the day of yore with Ronald Reagan. You know, Reagan did this and Reagan did that and Reagan did this, you know, but you know what? Reagan negotiated. And his famous saying was, get what you can now, we'll try to get the rest later. And it's going to have to be that way with this. And we have to be patient as Americans. And I think people are losing patience because I think, like everything else, people think that Trump wanders in and all of a sudden he's president of the United States and the next day everything's supposed to happen. It doesn't work that way. There's going to be fights. There's going to be arguments. There's going to be negotiations. There's going to be some good times and some bad times, and you have to roll with it all. And again, we as consumers and Americans need to be patient about that. Speaking of patience, I have very little for the people who fight for 15. And I know that sounds maybe cruel, but I have, you know, you wanting $15 an hour and not actually, bringing anything more to the table other than you want $15 an hour. So you're not making my product any better. You haven't changed the way that you do your job. You've done nothing more. You haven't gotten more education. You just want 15 bucks an hour. And we see a lot with the, yes, of course, I'm talking about the robots and the, you know, talking about how they're going to, you know, we're going to change everything inside the fast food industry. Soon enough, there's going to be robots doing stuff. And everybody laughed about that. Well, you aren't laughing now. Because Flippy the Flipper Burger debuted today at Cali Burger. And yes, it makes hamburgers. It doesn't screw up. The hamburgers are perfect. It makes burgers. Think about that for a second. You're talking yourself out of a job. I laugh because when it comes to certain things, my empathy is very small. It is. And I can understand that you're frustrated and you realize you can't make it on $12 an hour, $11 an hour, $10 an hour. But at the same time, your job is a $9 an hour job because anybody off the street can do it. There is a million people that can do your job right now. Therefore, your job isn't that important. Chad, everybody's important. I'm not saying you as a human being is not important, but I'm just saying your job isn't that important. Think about the fact that there is, I don't know, how many people play quarterback in the NFL? 32? How many of them are good? Well, all of them are great, but how many of them are really great when it comes to playing in the league? Very few. What do they get paid? A lot of money. Why is that? Because very few people can do their job. Flippy the Flip Burger here, this little machine, this robot burger-making machine, is going to actually work. And it's going to put people out of work. It is. It's going to put people out of work. And you can fight for 15 all you want, but I always ask people, what are you doing to better yourself? If you want to get ahead in life, how are you making you better to get ahead of where the world is? This is what's funny. Rather than say, you know what, I'm going to make myself better, screw everybody else, you go to somebody and say, make them pay me more. Because. And that person says, I have a robot that can do your job. And the only reason I have a robot is because the monkey we hired can't get past any of the inspections. So here you go. Where's your 15 then? Yes, it sucks. But at 42, I will tell you this. Unless you own the McDonald's or a general manager, it shouldn't be a life choice. Chad, you're being a jerk. Yes, I am being a jerk, but I'm being an honest jerk. Take a deep breath. Go back to school. Work two $8 an hour jobs if you have to. Better yourself. And guess what happens? It works out for the better. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I have a conviction. I made a mistake, right? And should I be punished for that or my life? I have had a conviction. I spent time in prison. I have overcome so much.
His name is Ravi Immigration Rally, not Ravi Shankar. That'd be cool though, wouldn't it? Trump's going to throw him out of the country. Apparently, Trump alone. Actually, I think some people are so, this is what's amazing about the misinformation and the fear that people have. But it just goes to show you what fear can do to you. As a perfect example is if you look at what's happening at the border, it's off big time. They're not coming over like they used to. There is a fear factor that Trump is becoming the wall just from rhetoric. Just from the rhetoric, he is becoming the wall. That's amazing, right? It just goes to show you the psychology of a lot of stuff. It is funny, though. All he had to say is, I'm going to build a wall. And he had to say it 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 times. And I'm going to throw you out. The minute you get here, if we catch you, we're going to throw your ass back. Oh, my God. So people stop coming. They're scared. And it's funny because right before the election, people were coming in droves, and the fear factor was, if I get in before Trump maybe becomes president, I'm safe. No, it's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. I don't know how they're going to fix immigration. I don't. I've offered my solution on numerous occasions. If you really want to fix immigration, if we were serious about it, we'd go after the employers. We'd go after the employers with fines and the fear of shutting down their business, and you watch how fast those things dry up. People will call it racist. Call it what you want if you want to fix it. Because if people can't get a job, they're not going to stay. They might as well be poor and broke in their own place rather than a foreign land. I'm just saying. And yes, if you have broken a law, Trump may throw you out. That Ravi guy did some wire fraud in like 2001. He said he'd been to prison, he's paid his price, and he's worried. And of course, people rally around him, right? Here's a question. If he was a white dude, would people rally around him if he did wire fraud and say, I needed a chance? That's a question, right? Or is it because he's Ravi and it's an immigration thing? Because I love the way we look at immigration. Like all these people come out with immigration. You should really care about immigration. Immigration is a very important thing. You should really care about immigration. Immigration. And they talk about it. And these people are like, yes, these people should stay, but I don't want them to stay in my neighborhood. I would want them to stay, but not next to me. It's okay if they stay here, but no, I don't want to touch them. That's the way they treat it. There you go. That's the honesty of it all. That's your limousine liberal right there. Of course we want them to stay, just not here. I mean, I know they're the help and they mow the lawn, but I just don't want them to stay next to me. Because, you know, what? No. I'm just asking. Just, I think it's a fair question. People are like, that's not true. It's so true. It is so absolutely 110% true. That's the way people look at it. It's okay, right? It's okay if you stay, but you can't stay here. Can't stay in my neighborhood. No. You think Barbara Streisand wants a bunch of people that are here illegally living next door to her? I'm going to say no. These are the same people that fight over whether somebody should be allowed on a beach. Other rich people should be allowed on a beach. You think they want the person who does their garden living next door to them with their 18 friends? And cousins and aunts and uncles? Probably not. It's okay for them to tell you that they should live in your neighborhood. People are like, this guy's horrible. Probably. I found this interesting. This today, because, you know, my son's 6 and a half. He's not a teenager yet. He is halfway to being a teenager. He's halfway, although he'd like to think he's 21. And other times he's 3. But they talk about the fact that teens' brains are actually wired for risky behavior. So they're wired for risky behavior. And so I read this study. And what it talks about is they looked at 5,000 teens and young adults from 11 countries, Africa, Asia, Europe, and the Americas all participated. Research found that sensation-seeking peaks around 19 years of age. But here's where the lie comes, right? Well, it talks about the contracts, too. They self-regulate or start to quash those impulses right around 23 or 24 when it fully develops. But then they talk about how the study showed risky behavior among teens. Things like unsafe sex, alcohol, and drug use are dangerous driving varies greatly amongst countries. In fact, Indonesia, for example, only 2% of teenagers reported having alcohol in the last month compared to half of the adolescents in Argentina. You know what that shows me? People in Indonesia lie. That's what it shows me. I don't know if you guys are aware of. Anybody else know that Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation on earth? Anybody? Do you think that that's welcome there? No, they lie, is all that told me. Because they're not coming out and saying it, because God knows what will happen. Right? God knows what will happen. Just shouldn't be expected. You know, you shouldn't be surprised by any of this stuff. But when you look at kids do dumb things. That's part of being a kid. I'm an adult. I am 46 years old. I do dumb stuff. That's part of being a human being. And yes, when you're younger, you try different things. Things that you think, because you think inherently, especially boys, that you're invincible. That death will never come here. Because you don't know any better. Right? You ever see a dog run at 100 miles an hour in circles for no reason? We call it turboing. That's what a young teenager is. What happens is when those dogs are doing that, it's because their brains aren't firing. Not everything's working all in context. There's a missnap. When they get older, they stop doing stuff like that. That's what teenagers do. But I was reading this stuff, and it's hard to take things like this in seriously, because when you fill out a questionnaire, when you talk to somebody, you inherently tell them what you think they want to hear, right? Unless you're in Indonesia, which you, like, what I found out in Indonesia, 98% of the kids lie, and 2% of them are the most honest people you'll ever meet. The 2% has said, yeah, I drank. Because they know in their country, that means trouble, potentially. Argentina? Well, 50% of them told the truth, and the other 50% were passed out. Because it's Argentina. And they're having a party, right? It's like Colombia. Woo! That's Rich, by the way. He's here. So last night, here's a great story. This is my great team is with me. And by team, I mean people who don't like me. We got off the airplane last night. So I flew out to Atlanta last night. We're going to get to the TSA in a little bit, because the TSA is the TSA just, they're the DMV of the sky is what they are. Right? Like, they could care less. I could have walked through with an AK-47 and they weren't looking. They just, you know, they're pulling the 87-year-old woman with a fake hip out of line, and they're giving her a once-over, right? And they don't care. So last night, I get off the airplane, and my crew here that doesn't like me, we land at virtually the same time at the same airport going to the same hotel. They text me, where are you? I said, I'm off the plane. Where are you guys? Nothing. Then I get, we're on our way to the hotel. They left me at the airport. They left me there. Like, that's the... We make mistakes in life. I trusted them. That was my bad. We'll not do that again. You guys... You guys know who you are. But back to kids. My son makes so many mistakes. And, you know, when I read these things, because most of us have kids, are going to have kids, have older kids, we do dumb things. Isn't that part of growing up, though, is doing dumb things? Isn't that part of and we have now softened it for children, where we've taken away so many of the consequences that came with being a child. We've taken all of those things away. And I'm wondering, what's the brain development going to be like for this younger generation? Because it's going to change everything else. I bet if you go back and look at brains, if you could study brains through time, they've all changed, because we've always adapted, right? We've adapted to avoid predators. We've adapted to chase certain things and to eat certain things. We've adapted our way. And I think the brains are the same way. And I think over the future, and I think we're going to adapt our physicality, because we're going to be using our fingers more for things like computers, and we're going to be doing, you know, we've talked about the fact that we do less physical work anymore, and I think the brains are going to be the same way. And I bet you watch this comes down, because kids aren't having sex as much as they used to, because they don't go outside the house like they used to. Kids aren't driving. I mean, you almost have to beg kids now to go get their driver's license, because they don't care. They don't care. It's like, if I have to. When I was a kid, I was like, Mom, are you sure I can't go? She's like, you're 7. You have to wait till at least you're 10 and I can put it on Facebook, right? Now, kids, you have to beg them. So I'm wondering if the brain is going to develop in a much different way and how it's going to change, because we are changing. Life is changing. Politics is changing. We all change. It happens. And nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. I don't always want everybody to think change is bad. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Also call the program, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow is the email address. Check it out. Go grab the podcast as well, at ChadBensonShow.com, RadioAmerica.com, and iTunes and everywhere else available. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
That's me, party people. Happy Thursday. It is the Chad Benson Show. I want to thank WSB out here in beautiful Hot Atlanta. To the Hot Atlanta, baby. It's gorgeous out here. This is a huge building. You know, you think you're doing okay, and you got your cool building that you work in, you know. We're doing all right. I mean, I live a great life, but You come in here and you're like, wow, you could get lost in here. I can't get lost in my building. Cannot do it. Cannot do it. I want to thank them for putting us up. Last week, the NFL Combine happened. Joe Mixon was not invited. He's first-round talent, but is he first-round headache? And I talk about this because, you know, not for anything other than the fact that this is a perfect example of people who make mistakes in life and who own up for it. Now, earlier this year, right before the bowl game, his lawyers released a video of him striking a woman and knocking her out. I think he was a freshman. It happened. Now he is a redshirt junior headed to the NFL. And somebody's going to pick him. I mean, he knocked her out. There's no doubt. He ended up getting in trouble for it. He ended up getting arrested. I think both people, alcohol was involved. I know it's a shocker that alcohol gets involved in these things. But alcohol was involved in this, and there was some poor language between the two. I think the lady, everybody always wants to say this guy's a horrible human being. I will say this, though, in some defense of him, because you should never hit anybody. I don't care if it's a man or a woman. And this is the funny thing. I don't think it's right. If you go up and you hit me, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, you struck me first. She struck him first, right? But obviously he's bigger and he knocked her out. It was a horrible situation. He's done his time. But Bob Quinn last week started all the hubbub when he said, why wasn't this kid invited to the NFL Combine? Because he wasn't. The NFL Combine's a lot of things. It's a meat market. You get to watch guys who are super athletic in their underwear. You poke and prod them, ask them how tall they are. You measure them. Okay, you're really 6'3" when you said you were 6'6". That's what it is. You know, how many bench presses can you do? Run through the cone 60 times. How fast are you? And then they all go home and have these pro days. But the most important thing is you get to ask them questions, right? You're going to give a kid $2, 3, 4, 5, $10 million. You kind of want to know what they're going to do with it, right? Like, are they going to get fat, dumb, and happy and just quit? Like Jamarcus Russell, right? He got all this money, and then he showed up, and he was like 800 pounds, right? It was huge. He was like, he looked like Jamarcus Russell in a fat suit. Like, what happened to the ball? I ate it. He's like, he's fat. I ate the ball. And so, but he was right. The NFL decided not to invite this guy, and it was the most important thing was to invite this guy because you want to find out what he's like. Has this happened before? You interview all of these kids. Wouldn't it be, I mean, when you go interview for a job, nowadays, especially a younger generation, and even an older generation, you know, you go through your media, right? Your social media. What have I done wrong? What have I done right? How can I get rid of this? What pictures out there that shouldn't be out there? What's this? What did I say a long time ago? How do I get rid of that? Because that's the first thing we do. We want to know who you are. It's the same thing with these kids. Did you hit anybody else when you were a kid? Did you, and you know, kids fight, that's not a big deal, but did you strike another woman? Do you have problems with your anger? Do you have a drug problem? You ask these kids because you're going to hand them, it's not like college is much different. You go to school, right? You go to class, and it's very structured. Even though it's freedom that you've never had, it's still somewhat structured. The NFL is structured-ish, but you also have a lot of downtime. And you're looking at a kid and you're going, here is more money than you'll ever see in your lifetime, right? Here is $5 million. And by the way, when you sign that contract, it's not like they wait 6 months or they hand you a check that day and you wander in with your signing bonus and you put it in the bank. And all of a sudden, you're a millionaire and you're 21 and you got time on your hands. It was right. People like, this guy shouldn't be given a chance. Well, we're a nation of second chances. We want to give people second chances, right? We want to think that people can change. Because if we don't think people can change, if we don't think, it's so funny the way that we pick and choose who we think can change, right? This guy does something wrong. We seemed it to be horrible. He hit a woman. It was absolutely horrific. And that's one of the things where pictures told a million words. It happened years earlier, but once it came out and we saw it on film, it was the same thing with Ray Rice in Baltimore. He was contrite. He'd went to the you know, went and met with Roger Goodell. And the minute we see something, we change our mind. And we're a nation of second chances. And this kid should be given a second chance. He should be. But like everything else, you should be allowed to interview. But as I always tell everybody, if you have talent, you will always work. Period. I care what kind of a jerk you are. I don't care how horrible you are. You will eventually find yourself working. Ray Rice didn't play in the NFL again, not because he hit a woman. Ray Rice didn't play in the NFL again because he was 30 years old and he couldn't break away anymore. He had gone from 4.5 yards a carry down to 3, and he just wasn't worth it. That's it. Period. If Ray Rice was still the fastest guy in the NFL, if Ray Rice was still scoring touchdowns, people are like, man, that was horrible what you did. Don't ever do that again. But how about $8 million a year? Are we good with that? Because people who are talented will work. This kid they should have brought in. They did the wrong thing. The NFL's message is, because if you're going to go so far as to say, well, we don't want you at our combine, but you can play in our league, that's stupid. We don't want to talk to you, but you can play in our league. We'll talk to you later. Hopefully when everybody else has, you know, forgot about the fact that you knocked some girl out. And that's the thing that's silly. Let it go. Talk to him. Bring him in. Let everybody ask him these questions that they're going to ask him anyway. That's the false bravado, as if we're standing up for the Shield. You have bigger issues right now for the Shield. The fact that kids aren't playing football anymore because they are terrified.
This is the Chad Benson Show.